The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we began to see yesterday, the kingdom of God is a mind-blowing concept that was introduced by Jesus into the world in his earthly ministry. In the first half of this sermon, Elder Tim McCool showed us that the kingdom is something that we must press into. In other words, it requires effort to enter into this church kingdom, and not every child will do so. Join us today as we hear the conclusion of this powerful message on the kingdom of God.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe.
to tell you, child of God, it takes zeal, it takes energy to press into the kingdom of God. It does not come to you naturally in the sense of, well, the Lord's just going to spoon feed you. And I'll say this, modern religion is for lazy people. You get spoon fed everything. They put a bib on you and they get food all over you. It's messy and it's for lazy people. The kingdom of God was designed in such a way that you have to make effort to go get it. It's not where you get spoon-fed everything. And think about how much false teaching there is out there today. And it's all because people are just being spoon-fed and they're not willing to search and dig themselves to find out what the treasure in the field is. By the way, that's another kingdom parable. So we want to be violent in this aspect, in this context. We want to push or press into the kingdom. We want, it says, to force, to crowd oneself into, to be seized. Or to seize. That's something we want to do. Is we want to be energetic and we want to press into the kingdom. Now back over in Matthew 22, where I read the kingdom parable of the king making a marriage for his son. I think it's very interesting, and I hope you find it interesting too, that he uses a marriage as something to compare to what we experience in the kingdom of heaven. Here now. Remember, there's two aspects to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and that is an eternal aspect, the sweet by and by, that no one, not one of his children will miss. And then there is a timely aspect, which is what most of the teaching of Christ in the New Testament is about. How to experience that, how to enter that, how to enjoy that. And only a born-again child of God can see it, enter it, or enjoy it. And you know what? We can also leave it too. We can. So Christ takes great pains, great measures to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. It's like a king that made a marriage for his son. That makes sense. A kingdom is going to have a king, right? And so here the king makes a marriage for his son. The Lord created marriage. And it's interesting that he uses that celebratory ordinance, that incredible festive, what should be a festive, joyous time, to compare to the experience that he has for his children in the kingdom. He made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. They would not put forth any energy. They were not energetic. They would not respond to go to this pre-prepared, joyous occasion that the festive king of this land here in the parable had prepared for his people. Again, he sent forth other servants. The first servants go out and they just said, they just either were quiet and they just said, we're not coming. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them what you're bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. I am unashamedly one who tries to lure people. I've said to somebody, hey, let's get together and let's talk. They'll be like, I don't know. I'll take you to lunch. I'll fix you a meal. I will unashamedly try to bribe somebody into going to have fellowship. You know, I've said for years, food is not food. Food is fellowship. I'm sorry for the picky eaters, but food is not food. It's a time to fellowship. And I like something that Aunt Lorene has often said that I've hijacked that and taken it up myself, that whenever we finish the meal and we say the food was great, but the fellowship was better, right? Because food is not food. Food is fellowship. And that's what this king does. I love that attitude for the kingdom. He so badly wants his subjects in the kingdom to experience what he has prepared for them in the kingdom right here and now that he is enticing them to come. He says, y'all come. Y'all have a special invitation to come. And they say, nope. He says, send this message to them. I've got supper ready. I've got dinner ready. And this isn't just going to Bojangles and picking up some fried chicken. This is a king's meal. He's going for a king's meal. The only way that I can compare this, I know this is silly, but the only way that I can compare this is the times that I have taken my girls, and I think I took Asher one time, but they have Belle's Castle at Disney World. And I'm telling you, it is fake as it can be, but it is an incredible experience. And it's a king's table. It's the king's table set up, you know, and they've got stuff behind it. It looks like you're somewhere else in another world. They got snow going on outside, you know, with all these projectors and stuff. And you go in there, and it's incredible. It's so pristine, and it's so nice. And they have all the forks, all the spoons, salad fork, you know, all this stuff. It makes you feel special, even though it's fake. And that's the only thing that I can compare that king's meal to. I've never been to a king's house. I've never been invited there. But listen, the meal that the King of Kings has prepared for us is far greater than anything that we could ever even fathom in our minds. It's gospel food. It's a meal prepared from before the foundation of the world that never runs out. The manna is always there, and the meal never fails in the barrel. It's always a king's meal at the king's house, and he says, come. And the people said, nope, sorry. Can you imagine? That frustrates me just saying that. Can you imagine how it frustrates the King of Kings? My people just won't come. I've laid it out for them. My people just won't come. And he says, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. This is an incredible meal. They've got beef. They've got lamb meat, which was an incredible food to eat if you've ever tried it. All things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. If you look at the corresponding verses over in the book of Luke where it talks about, or at least it's very similar to this, it's the sermon that I have never worked up the courage yet to preach at Bethlehem, but I hope to one day. It's a sermon in the back of my mind that I call excuses, excuses, excuses. Everybody's got all kinds of excuses. I'm just not brave enough. I'll preach this sermon away and act like a big preacher, but when I go back home, I'm a little afraid to preach it. Afraid I might make somebody upset. Y'all know I'm just being a little facetious here. But excuses, excuses, excuses. You know, over there in Luke, the 14th chapter, the same situation here. A meal has been prepared. A feast is prepared. The king invites, the nobleman invites the people to come. And the first guy, he says, well, I've got to go check on a piece of land. I can't be there. Like the land is going to sprout legs and walk away, right? If it rains, if it storms, if a fire comes, if it burns up, the trees are gone, the land's still going to be there. But he said, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I got to go check on some land. And then the next guy says, look, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I just bought some oxen, and I've got to prove them. I've got to make sure that my purchase, my merchandise that I purchased is adequate, or I might have to return it or, you know, get in a lawsuit or something like that. He says, I'm sorry, I got to go do that. Those oxen would be there the next day. And furthermore, think about this. When do you eat dinner, right? You eat dinner at night after the sun's gone down. Is this guy really going to be out there with torches lit up? It wasn't like our day and time where you put some lights out there and light up the field. He's in complete darkness by the time dark rolls around. He can't even do it at night. What a sorry excuse. But I kind of think the third guy had a little sense of humor about him, because the third guy, he probably standing by and here's that first guy who says, I can't come, I got to go check on some property. And he's like, well, I can't use that excuse. And then he hears the second guy, I can't come because I got to go check on these oxen. The third guy says, well, I can't use that excuse. What excuse? He's probably sweating, thinking, man, I got to really come up with a good excuse. And he says, what about you? And he says, I'm sorry, I can't come, I have a wife. Is that not humorous to y'all? I mean, what kind of excuse is that? I got a wife, I can't come. That guy probably had a much longer honey-do list than I do, I guess. I guess that's the only thing you could say, but he doesn't even really say anything other than, I'm sorry, I just got married, I got a wife, I can't come. What pitiful excuses to miss the kingdom meal. And look, this is not just primarily only talking about, you know, Sunday to Sunday worship, Wednesday to Wednesday worship, Sunday night to Sunday night. This is talking about the full gamut, the full spectrum of the kingdom experience. I'm just too busy. I'm too distracted. I got too much going on. I'm involved in work too much. Doesn't this hearken to the parable of the sower where he said there's four categories there? These guys sound like they're in that third category where the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of other things come in and choke the word. They can't experience the kingdom because they're too busy. And I say they, I say me. It happens to me. If you think the preacher's above something like this happening to them, sometimes we can be the worst. So he says back in Matthew 22, it says they made light of it. and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Oh my goodness. Now it's gotten truly violent and criminal. They took the servants that came out with the message of the kingdom and the feast, and they killed them. You know what I get out of that? There's so many different ways that you could look at this, so many different messages that you could get. But one thing that I get out of that is God's people sometimes kill the preacher. You know that? I don't mean physically. But if the preacher does something that they don't like, or preaches a sermon that they don't like, or steps on their toes, or they think he's reading their mail, or if he just doesn't act like they think he should, or speak like they think he should, or maybe he forgot to speak to someone, he's usually the first one that gets killed. I can't get anything out of him anymore. He's not giving me what I need, and I just can't. Look, I've had ministers in my life, some that were very close to me, who fed me spiritually. And years later, you would find out they had some kind of major issue going on, or something that was really afflicting them or affecting them. And I didn't look back on those sermons and say, well, I really didn't get anything out of that. That was really not real. You know, if the Lord can use a donkey to preach to a man, surely he can use a flawed, sinful individual. Surely he can lift him up beyond what he is. What about Elijah? Think about Elijah standing up one day, confronting 800 prophets of Baal and calling fire down from heaven. And then the next day, or two or three days later, he's under a juniper tree wishing that he could commit suicide and running from a woman, Jezebel. Now, you think that guy sitting under the juniper tree is going to instruct me or give me anything while he's sitting there under the juniper tree? Not hardly. But the guy that stood up there and faced down the prophets of Baal, I'll listen to him all day long. But he's the same guy. He's up one day, he's down the next. He's listening to God one day, he's listening to his own flesh the next day. All of God's ministers are that way. And just because a man gets in a bad spot or does something or doesn't speak to me or treat me like I think he should, I'm not going to kill that servant. I'm not going to cut him off. I'm going to love him, and I'm going to trust that the Lord was using him and feeding me some of that incredible gospel message that was a blessing to my life. So the servants were killed. Some of the servants were killed, and the king was angry about that. Angry. Sends forth his armies, destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Now, in a sense, you know, none of us are worthy to enjoy the feast of God. But these folks are at a new level of unworthiness because they have mocked the messengers. They've killed the messengers, and they've said, I got to go do this, I got to do that. They made excuse after excuse. They've been specially invited, and they still won't come. He says, go ye therefore, praise God for this. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. The servants went out. In Luke, it says they went into the highways and the hedges, gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And can't you see the smile on the king's face as he comes in there and he looks and he thinks, all these pews, all these benches are filled. All of these folks are here to enjoy what I have spent my money, my life, my blood, my sweat, my tears to prepare for them. Oh, how the Lord Jesus Christ spent his life, his blood, his sweat, his tears. He spent all of those things to prepare the meal that all we have to do is put out a little effort just to enjoy it. Now, I can enjoy it from Sunday to Sunday. I can enjoy it from Wednesday to Wednesday. I can enjoy it from Bible study to Bible study. But I can also enjoy it on Monday morning, early morning hours, or midday, whenever it is that I sit down and I break the bread of life and I begin to get into the Word of God and I rejoice over the King. That's a meal right there. You might say that's an appetizer. You might say it's a snack. I don't know what you want to call it, but I tell you what, I have feasted on the Word of God, on the meal of God, on the marriage of God that He has prepared for us to experience. Sometimes when I'm by myself, sometimes when I'm in a congregation, sometimes whenever I'm in the strangest of places. But it's a meal no matter where you go. And you know what? It doesn't just pop in my head all of a sudden. It doesn't just all of a sudden show up. No, it's because I put effort into it. I go to church. I sit down in front of the Word of God. I pray to God. I look at the things of God. I ask God, Lord, help me, show me. I want to experience this. I try to be energetic about it. Y'all get that? It takes energy. It takes effort to press into the kingdom of God. And there's going to be rejection. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be times when we think it's not even worth it. But I'm going to tell you what. No matter how many times we press, no matter how many times we get energized and get disappointed, I want you to know that Christ is worthy of that effort. He is worthy of whatever effort we put out. And He is worthy to offer up to Him whatever disappointment we may experience when we put out that energy. Somebody didn't show up and they were supposed to come. Somebody was supposed to do this and they didn't do it. Somebody was supposed to bring something to me, you know, in the way of spiritual matters. And look, whatever we experience, if it's a high, if it's a low, He is worthy because He's the King. And we are greater than even John the Baptist in the kingdom of heaven. We're greater than John the Baptist because we're in the kingdom. John the Baptist died before he was in the kingdom. He was proclaiming the kingdom was coming and it's here now. And then he got his head cut off. And he says, we're greater because we get to ongoing experience the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one, receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. It takes effort to be good at anything. Now, I can't much run in a race anymore. I don't know if some of y'all can either. But I can put out effort and energy to serve God and experience the meal, experience the banquet, experience the festivities of our King. The race that he speaks of in 1 Corinthians 9 is in the kingdom. And you know what the prize is? The prize of that race, it's going to be an incredible prize one day to see the Lord in person, without a doubt. But right here, right now, the prize in running that race is Jesus Christ himself. Understanding him better, fellowshipping with him, even when other people may not fellowship with me, or when they don't show up, or when they should have been there and they weren't, I can still fellowship with Christ. I can still have the meal and the banquet of the Lord. I ask us, are we making headway with that? Are we making excuses? I don't want to be the guy that says, I'm sorry, I've got a wife and I just can't make it. I don't want to be the guy that says, well, I got to go check on some land or it may walk away. I don't want to be the guy that says, today, because I can't come to your banquet, I can't enjoy your feast because I've got to go do something that I really could do tomorrow. Wouldn't it be great if we flip-flopped the excuses and we started making excuses for serving God? I'm sorry, I can't make it to this worldly function. I can't go to this ball game because I got to go worship the Lord. What an excuse. Make excuses for serving God rather than making excuses on why I just can't do it. That's a life-changing dynamic right there if we'll do that. I pray the Lord will bless us to do that. And I appreciate your good attention here tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.